Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
It's the Round Ball Rock Podcast, starring Dave Schilling, Brad Doherty, Hot Rod Williams, Joey Devine, Campy Russell, Bingo Smith, that's his name-o, Sean Keane, Austin Carr, musical guest, the Lumineers, and now the temporary host of Round Ball Rock, Joey Devine.
Hi, it's me, your temporary host of Round Ball Rock, Joey Devine. And I'm here with my good friend, once again, Sean Keane. Sean, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good. A lot of news happened this week, it feels like.
It's an incredible amount.
We predicted there was going to be news, and then there was a lot of news.
Mm-hmm. We're psychic. We're the most clairvoyant NBA podcast that exists.
So should we just get straight to the news? Actually, first off, as always, please follow us on Twitter at RoundRockPod. Email us at RoundRockPod@gmail.com. And give us 5-star reviews on iTunes. Is that all our business? Yeah. That's all our business, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we're still naming fantasy teams.
Oh, we owe two fantasy basketball team names. We know
think
this.
I think they'll actually have their fantasy names maybe as soon as this podcast is up, too.
Oh, great.
I have a list I just haven't sent out yet.
Good job, Sean. I forgot about that.
I forgot I made the list, so. We love our fans!
We do love our fans. We want to hear from you. Yeah. All right, our top story. Well, let's go to the news.
This is Round Ball Rock News. Basketball news. For humans and robots. Trust the process.
All right, our top story this week is, of course, everyone in the basketball community is buzzing about it, is J.R. Smith wrote a children's book with his brother, Chris Smith.
Oh, yes. His brother, who I believe was on a Knicks summer league team.
I believe he was straight up on the Knicks one time.
Oh, wow.
They signed him. Remember when the Knicks were, like, run by CAA? Everyone was mad that they signed Chris Smith to, like, a... They cut, like, an actual player to sign Chris Smith, I believe.
I'm sure that happened. Oh, he got hurt. He did sign with the Knicks, and he cost them somebody, but he got hurt in Summer League. And then he played two games on the legendary 2013-14 New York Knicks.
Very cool. So, the book is called Hoopsmiths.
I mean, it just feels like as if they're like medieval basketball court makers. That's what Hoopsmiths sounds like to me.
Here's the summary of the book, Sean. JR and Chris both have dreams of playing in the NBA, but they quickly realize they can't do it alone. Join these two brothers on their quest of commitment as they learn the value of teamwork and work toward achieving their ultimate goal.
Do you think J.R. Smith quickly learned he couldn't do it alone? Or do you think it maybe took some time and maybe four or five different teams and maybe even a small stretch of playing internationally?
Well, my question was going to be, do you think J.R. Smith has learned commitment yet?
If LeBron's there next to him, maybe?
Because, I mean, he certainly has not. Oh, I guess he did finally get married last season. I forgot that.
Is married. Yeah, wow. Yeah.
And he talked about the value of commitment, actually, when he married that woman. So my bad, JR.
Didn't he commit to the Bloods?
Crimes?
Committed to crimes. Did he actually join an LA street gang, even though he's from suburban New Jersey?
I don't know if he joined it, but he's affiliated to a gang. I don't know if it's the Bloods.
He uses K's instead of C's, so I think it's the Bloods.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
I think so. Has
I mean, that's the ultimate team, right? The Bloods?
Wouldn't you say, like, the Cosa Nostra? Are they above the Bloods?
Yeah, they have their thing.
What if J.R. Smith joined the Cosa Nostra?
My God. Is the Yakuza? Is that like a more ultimate team? I don't know if they have as much teamwork. They might have the most commitment, though.
I mean, he certainly has the tattoos for the Yakuza.
Well, that'll be the sequel to Hoopsmiths, or maybe the Japanese translation, when he becomes a Ronin.
All right, our next story, and obviously the true top story. Uh-huh. Kawhi Leonard laughs weird.
It's weird that he was drafted in 2011.
Yeah.
Is that right? And this is the first time anyone's heard his laugh. And it makes sense that no one's heard it yet.
It is truly unsettling. It is like the laugh that you would hear from, like, you know in the movie Saw, that dummy thing that, like, rides a unicycle?
Oh, yeah. It's Steph Curry's Halloween costume.
Yeah, it's like you would expect the laugh to come out of that, not Kawhi Leonard.
It sounds like a laugh. It's almost like a cartoon where the part of him that laughed had died, but it still needs to be, like, oiled up and loosened up so a true laugh can come in.
His eyes look so dead when he's laughing, too.
Yeah.
He is not laughing on the outside. I mean, on the inside. He's like that man from that joke. It's like he went to the doctor to talk about how depressed he was, and the doctor was like, well, Kawhi Leonard's in town.
Uh-huh.
Go see him. Like, and then he's like, I am Kawhi Leonard.
I'm Leonard. it's troubling. It actually makes me revise my Raptors prediction a little bit.
I was going to make that same joke.
Like, the team's got to be more serious now, because you don't want to joke around, because then, like, a ghost will emerge from Kawhi Leonard's throat.
I guess we should play it. Right?
You should play it. You should even maybe go back and insert it a few times.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I mean, let's hear it again. I'm going to have played it in the front, but let's hear it again.
I'm always in traffic with the lane expert, you know, this type of person, constantly re-evaluating their lane choice. It They're always a little bit ahead of you. Can I get in over there? Can I get ahead of you? Can I get in there? Yeah, come on over here, pal. We're zooming over here. Nobody knows about it. I think the ultimate psychological test of traffic is the total dead stop. Not even rolling. And you look out the window, you can see gum. But we know that in the future, traffic will get even worse than that. I mean, what will happen? Will it start moving backwards, I wonder? I mean, is that possible that someday we'll be going, boy, this is some really bad traffic now. I'm going to try and get off and get back on going the other way.
Ugh, I fucking hate it.
I hate it so much.
All right. Our next story, Sean. Space Jam 2 has a poster.
Yeah, the great marketing efforts from our team at Team LeBron.
Spring Hill Entertainment.
Sorry. I'm sorry, guys. Why is it called Spring Hill?
I don't know.
Did he go to the – what was his high school team? The Oak Hill Academy? No, he went to
St. Anyway. St. Mary, St. Vincent, St. Mary.
All right, I don't know what I'm talking about then. So Space Jam has a poster. I mean, always important to start with that, with a movie. The producer is Ryan Coogler, who made Black Panther and Fruitvale Station, and Creed, the prequel to the Stallone movie, and they have a director who is Terrence Nance. I was not aware of his earlier movie, but I have seen Random Acts of Flyness on HBO, which is his show. So, you know, he does a lot of stuff that has animation in it. So, I mean, that might be kind of, the approach. I don't know. I think that show's good. But it does feel like maybe it is more HBO synergy, because Jon Stewart was on The Shop.
Right.
And, also weirdly, Tristan Thompson is going to be on that new camping show. And, I believe that, Anthony Davis signed with Clutch Sports because he wants to be on Animals.
We should talk about that. Fuck Space Jam 2. I want to talk about what does it mean that Anthony Davis signed with Clutch Sports?
You know, I don't know if it necessarily means anything, because didn't John Wall sign with Clutch Sports and then sign a Supermax?
Yes.
I think he just wants to, like, be in stuff. I wonder if, like, It doesn't seem to have.
He should not want to be in stuff. I'm gonna say this for Anthony Davis. I'm playing the NBA 2K My Player currently, and Anthony Davis is in it a lot, and not good.
He's not.
There's a point where Anthony Davis plays a prank on your player, and you go to the barbershop, and they draw a unibrow on you. And then your player gets all mad, and Anthony Davis goes, "Just chill, bro. We're playing. It's just a prank."
that's stardom right there.
Yeah. Anthony Davis is better off being like more Kawhi, I think. Never talking, just looking crazy and doing big time plays.
I mean, he could probably be an Uncle Drew, too, if they decide to, at any point, cast young actors as fake old guys instead of guys who are actually old.
Now that he's with Clutch Sports, he definitely can't be an Uncle Drew, too, though. That's like
right, because that's an anime production. So he's maybe hoping for Space Jam 2.
I mean, he is... Anthony Davis is the most obvious Monstar in the league
right
now.
I don't mean that to be... demeaning, but it's a little demeaning. But yeah,
but if you're drawing a cartoon,
yeah,
monster, well, that's what I'm saying. It's easy to be like, this one has a unibrow.
Yeah, exactly. It's easy shorthand for Even though there is a lot of talk about him being, you know, dissatisfied with New Orleans and maybe wanting a trade, I kind of feel like if New Orleans is going to offer him a Supermax, he's going to sign a Supermax. Just because it's so much money.
It is so much money.
I could see maybe New Orleans not being like ready to financially commit that way, But I don't think he's going to ask out if that's still on the table.
Is Tom Benson died, right? Or he's dying?
He's really old, and he was in a battle for, like, I think they were... Oh, no, he did die. He died.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see what those kids want.
Yeah, exactly.
Out of the Pelicans. Because he didn't care about the Pelicans.
Yeah, he cared about the city of New Orleans.
Right. Which is admirable to spend as much money as he did to just keep a basketball team there, but...
Yeah. She's the only woman who's the majority owner of an NFL and NBA team. So
the NBA has two majority women now?
Because
Jeannie is also the majority.
Oh, I don't think she's I don't think she's the majority. Well, maybe she is.
I'm
she's the president.
Sure she is. Yeah.
But she just doesn't own over 50% of the Lakers, does she?
No, I think the kids each own whatever percent. But
yeah,
the
yeah.
buses are the majority owners and she's in charge of the buses.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah. But yeah, Anthony Davis signing with Clutch Sports. I wonder if I actually just don't know if agents charge different percentages at different organizations or if it's like standard across the board. I wonder if like he's maybe keeping a little more money on his next contract with this move. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know either. Let's see if we can guess the five Monstars though, Sean. This should be
great.
Easy,
okay.
Right?
Okay.
Anthony Davis for sure.
Anthony Davis is absolutely going to be a Monstar. I kind of think as polarizing as he is, I think there's going to be a Lonzo Monstar.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, just...
They should write a LeVar Monstar. LeVar Lonzo.
like the Monstars have an extra Monstar dad that's around there. But like, what would they steal? He doesn't really have any talent, you know?
True. I mean, marketing.
I mean, I think that Dirk Nowitzki would be an ideal Monstar, but I don't think he's interested either.
Yeah. They need a small one. Who's the small guy?
It's not going to be Isaiah Thomas
yeah,
anymore.
Yeah, because he and LeBron don't get along.
I mean, I kind of think, like, maybe Curry? But he's almost too big to be a Monstar.
It could be Curry. I mean, it also, frankly, could be Kyrie, actually. I know I made that joke about how they're enemies earlier, but both
LeBron doesn't
and
have
Kyrie
any...
love making not... money.
I think this offseason proved that LeBron does not have any enemies in the NBA anymore. Like, Draymond's on the shop. Rondo and Lance all signed with him. It's like Enes Kanter's his only nemesis now.
Oh, I bet Draymond's a Monstar, actually.
Draymond is definitely positioning himself to be a Monstar.
Draymond for
and then
sure
you can
is
have,
a Monstar.
And then like a Monstar can kick someone in the groin. And also Draymond, I think, is probably less terrible of an actor than most guys, although
yeah.
probably terrible still.
Oh, for sure.
So we think Anthony Davis and Draymond.
You know what? I'm going all clutch. I bet John Wall's the small guy.
Oh, well, that makes a lot of sense, actually.
Who are other
so it's
clutch
all
sports
it's an all
guys?
Clutch sports.
That's
thing?
Actually. I bet that's what's going to happen. Hold on, let's see. Clutch sports clients. Eric Bledsoe.
I don't think there's enough like. Is that like he's just going to be in a hair salon when the aliens come?
Okay, here we go. LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Tristan Thompson, J.R. Smith, Eric Bledsoe, Norris Cole, Corey Joseph, Trey Lyles, Ben McLemore. They do not
ben
have
McLemore,
good.
Great signing.
Costa Kufos, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, John Wall, Montrezl Harrell. Oh, Ben Simmons. There's your other Monstar. Ben Simmons, DeJounte Murray.
Anthony
Shabazz Muhammad.
So you think so we're saying right now Wall, Davis, Simmons, Draymond
and
The Morris twins
that,
don't really
that's what I was going to say. I
think,
could see them doing the Morris twins.
Yeah.
Twin Monstars?
That's I mean, pretty... they're like real life Monstars, too.
Yeah.
Like, this is supposed to be bullies. You know what would be like the funniest version of it, though? It's just straight up the Ubuntu Celtics.
Oh, that would be hilarious.
And it's just LeBron beating them again in cinematic form. And then you could have, like, Doc Rivers get his talent stolen by the alien coach, which would just be so great to have, like, a little
Monstars.
Cartoon. Doc Rivers. Monstars, we gotta help this guy imprison LeBron James and make him play in an amusement park and lose to children for the rest of his life.
All right, we've gone long on Space Jam 2.
I kind of want a Tibbs, too. I would love Tibbs to be the Monstars.
Well,
he also might have something, some free time.
Speaking of Tibbs, that is our actual story. Sean, do you want to walk us through this Jimmy Butler story?
Yeah, so basically, this kind of... So there's been reporting, like, either way that Jimmy Butler's been upset about... Well, here's let's just go through. Jimmy Butler demanded a trade.
Yes.
Basically, 1 week ago, he had a meeting with Thibodeau. As we discussed, the media inaccurately reported that that meeting would take place on Monday when it actually took place on Tuesday.
Oh,
shame on you. Hashtag fake news. And then he listed three teams on his trade list: the Brooklyn Nets, the LA Clippers, and the New York Knicks. These teams, what do they have in common? They are big markets that have the possibility of awarding two maximum salary deals next summer. Also, coincidentally, the three teams that have probably been burned the most by trading away first-round picks in the last 10 years or so. And the lingering rumor is that he wants to team up with either Kyrie Irving or Kawhi Leonard, who are both free agents.
Mm-hmm.
Joey, do you buy this?
Yeah. I mean, because this rumor was going before Butler demanded a trade that he wanted to team up with Kyrie on the Knicks.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know why I wouldn't buy it.
Do you think this is a good idea for one of these three teams, too?
I mean, I think it depends how much... It seems like Jimmy Butler's going to be very cheap to get, right?
Well, he wants it. Oh, in a trade?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
The Wolves have no leverage here.
Yeah, I mean, all the stories that are coming out about Tom Thibodeau refusing to trade him, and then... I mean, the problem is the owners, like, cut his legs out. I'm kind of not... There's a lot of stories that are coming out now about how Tom Thibodeau's, like, freaking out and defying the owner and refusing to trade Jimmy Butler. And I think that's like, even if he didn't believe that, he'd have to act like he did.
Yeah.
Because
I mean,
you have to act like you're reluctant to trade this guy.
I do think Thibodeau thought he could fix this, and then yesterday was the end of that.
Yeah, that's probably right. But also, like, you know, I think that's probably what he should, like... Like, why give up on Jimmy Butler until it's, like, absolutely... I mean, the team is screwed if they get rid of Jimmy Butler
well,
for this
especially
next...
if they lose this next year, Tibbs is getting
yeah.
fired.
Yeah, so let's just go through what, like, sort of the course of this is... Jimmy Butler has, you know, what's basically critiquing Towns and Wiggins the whole season. He didn't fly back with the team after they lost in the playoffs. He just flew back to LA by himself. He's kind of been out of touch. But what sounds like happened is that Karl Anthony Towns forced his hand by refusing to sign his own max extension if Jimmy was still around. The social media rumor, again, just a rumor, allegedly, is that Jimmy may have had a relationship with Kat's girl. Basically, the idea has to do with a lot of Instagram sleuthing, mm-hmm. some unfollows, and then his refusal to sign his rookie extension. Basically, the reason this is a big deal is that Jimmy Butler needs to get traded now, basically, to preserve his bird rights, because he can get 5 years and 190 with a team if he has his bird rights. If not, that money goes down to 141. So that's $49 million. That's a lot.
Which the Wolves should be playing that more, frankly.
Like, right, right, exactly. Well, I mean, that makes sense for Tom Thibodeau because, yeah, like exactly. Like he needs to get traded to preserve that.
At a certain point, I think one of these teams is just going to have to, like, not be held hostage here. You know what I mean? Because this is going to keep happening. One of these teams is just going to have to suck it up and say, I'm not trading you and I'm not playing you. You're going to sit out the year and sorry about your $50 million. That I'm on the side. Not that I'm a dunked on side of the front office. I'm on the side of the players. But, like, it just feels like that's what we're careening towards, right?
Yeah, and I have some sympathy for Jimmy Butler because when the Bulls traded him away, he lost his chance at even more money with the Supermax. Mm-hmm. So, his position makes sense. I maybe think he didn't necessarily want to be traded, though. Like, I'm sure he's unhappy, but Jimmy Butler, like, complains about shit all the time.
Right.
You know, he was complaining in Chicago. So... So you asked, are people going to make fun of Karl Anthony Towns about this forever?
Mm-hmm.
And I think probably they will. I think they probably will until he, like, does something more memorable than, allegedly getting cucked. I do think that's going to be pretty high. However,
This is actually a good time to read the email we got from my Wolves fan last week, by the way.
Oh, please.
We asked for Wolves fans' takes on the Cat versus Jimmy thing. And Andrew Baumgart wrote us an email saying, you asked for opinions from T-Wolves fans on Butler versus Towns. I am pro-Towns, but also tend to agree with Sean that Towns hasn't really done anything in the league, and his biggest thing is getting drafted number one. The problem with the Wolves pre-Butler is they were building around young AAU diva robots who play stats-inspired basketball that doesn't lead to wins. Towns doesn't play defense, and while he's efficient offensively, his offense generally doesn't consistently translate to wins. Jimmy and the vets were always bailing out the young players, and when Jimmy was out, the team instantly reverted back to being a wet noodle sub-500 team. So, for on-court reasons, I feel like I should be on Butler's side. But my guess is this Butler versus Towns riff boils down to personal issues which may never be leaked, because if Butler's going to be pissed off at anyone, common sense says he should obviously be pissed off at Andrew Wiggins. All right. And now he goes to...
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead, Sean.
No. There's more to the email.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Awesome. Oh, okay. That all makes sense. Like, it's definitely in Jimmy Butler's interest to not get traded, but that seems like it has become impossible.
It seems like Karl Anthony Towns forced his hand.
Yeah, because otherwise Jimmy Butler would have just requested a trade explicitly in June or July.
Right. All right. So here's Andrew goes on to say, if I were in charge of the Timberwolves, I would trade Jimmy Butler, because why on earth would anyone except Tom Thibodeau want to sign a 30-year-old Jimmy Butler to a 5-year, $190 million extension? Especially considering the reality that he doesn't get along with Towns, and Towns should eventually evolve into the number one offensive option anyway. If Butler demands a trade, it's actually a blessing in disguise. My favorite trade idea is Jimmy Butler to Denver for Gary Harris. I'd also fire Tibbs and hire an offensively innovative coach to get the most out of Towns. There's one more part here, but do you want to talk about the Gary Harris for Butler trade?
It actually seems like it makes a bunch of sense. Like, that's exactly the kind of guy that they should is a guy not only that is young and has the potential, but is already signed, because Minnesota is going to screw up any kind of like contract or sign. Like, you want somebody that already had a contract not negotiated by Glenn Taylor, right, and you know, figure it out. Also,
my problem with Gary Harris is he doesn't really fit the Nuggets time. Like, I mean, the Butler doesn't really fit the Nuggets timeline either. The Nuggets and the Timberwolves are on effectively similar timelines.
Yeah, and it kind of just depends on like how much urgency you feel. It seems like the Nuggets are willing to just sort of wait and let Jamal Murray and Gary Harris and Jokic just kind of grow together, whereas the Timberwolves seem like they are more interested in competing right away. Yeah. But I mean, that's, I mean, Jimmy Butler would certainly help Denver, who had a terrible defense, and you know, he'd play two or three, whatever. Yeah, it's right.
So let's go to his prediction about what will actually happen under Tibbs. Are you ready here?
Oh, I love it.
What will actually happen under Tibbs? Since Tibbs is an emotional sociopath, he will ignore any and all chemistry between Butler Towns and make a guttural old man claims in interviews like, you don't have to like each other to play basketball with each other, and winning takes care of everything. Jimmy will leave in free agency and leave a trail of wreckage behind in Minnesota. Towns will be permanently jilted and scarred. Let's just hope it's an entertaining soap opera if Butler spends the entire 18-19 season in Minnesota.
Now, wow.
The reason I liked the back half of that email. First off, thank you, Drew, in Minneapolis.
It was great. It was really a good email.
And again, listeners, if you email us, we'll read them.
I love the fatalism of that conclusion too. It's like that shows he wasn't a fake Timberwolves fan. That's how we could tell.
Well, and what I liked about it is he called Tibbs on what Tibbs was trying to do yesterday, and it immediately went up in his face. You know what I mean?
Well, his owner cut his legs out from him. That's you can't do anything with the Timberwolves because a doddering 84-year-old man who is actively terrible at running a basketball team and a known cheater. Like he just outright cheated. Like if a player had done the kind of chicanery he did with that Joe Smith deal, it would be in like the first paragraph of everything ever written about him. And somehow Glenn Taylor like skated on that one.
Here's the thing I wanted to bring up about Jimmy Butler, though.
Mm-hmm.
I generally would have leaned more towards Jimmy Butler's side here, but I heard a story about what he did to Ricky Rubio earlier in the season, and now I want to get Jimmy Butler out of the league.
What did he do to Ricky Rubio?
He told security at the Wolves home game, their first home game against the Jazz, not to let Ricky Rubio into his locker room.
Oh, Jesus,
he said,
Christ.
"I don't want Ricky in my locker room saying hi to guys."
See, that's just stupid.
Also, how you don't ban Ricky Rubio from anything. Ricky Rubio should have diplomatic immunity across the country. He should be able to go wherever he wants, commit whatever crimes. Ricky Rubio is a treasure that should be treated as such.
Yeah, what a jerk. But again, I really think that Jimmy Butler is not engineering this, and that this trade demand is like, it is a defensive move, not an offensive move.
100%.
If that makes sense.
I just mean like, you know, if you're Karl Anthony Towns, not only did this guy cheat on, possibly sleep with your girlfriend, but he also banned you from seeing Ricky Rubio.
Yeah, that's,
get out of my life.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's the thing. Like, I guess if Jimmy Butler really did sleep with Cat's girl, which I'm actually normally with these things, I'm like, whatever. This one I'm inclined to believe.
Right.
So anyway, if Jimmy Butler ends up going to Brooklyn, the Knicks, or the Clippers, isn't that really good revenge by Karl Anthony Towns? Like, it'll be the most emphatic thing he's done as a pro. Like, that's an ultimate dunk. And do you think Lee Jenkins has started his Jimmy Butler's journey article yet for Clippers.com?
I don't know, Sean.
What if they put Jimmy onto that Blake Griffin t-shirt with Nelson Mandela and Malcolm X?
I want one of those t-shirts so bad.
Oh my god. If you have access to one of those t-shirts, my god, let us know. Okay, so let's just quickly go through people's social media reactions. Ricky Rubio posted an emoji.
Mm-hmm, of course.
Of course, he is an emoji. Lauri Markkanen posted a Throwback Thursday picture of himself wearing a T-Wolves cap minutes before he was traded
really
to Chicago.
Funny. That's really,
really funny.
Really
funny move. And then Andrew Wiggins and his brother, Nick Wiggins, who is Nick Wiggins, decided to start a social media war with Steven Jackson.
Yeah, look, I'm with Steven Jackson. I'm a ride or die Stack Jack man. But this one to me was like, Jimmy Butler must have been really bad if the Wiggins were so openly like, get the fuck out of here, man. You know what I mean?
I've said this before. I just am not going to trust a Canadian named Drew.
It's funny.
To be, you know, effective.
But yeah, I don't really want to get into the Wiggins Jackson stuff.
Okay. Yeah, other people have covered
this.
It's
also kind of old at this point.
Yeah. The other thing that Jimmy Butler said, you can't run down a dynasty like Golden State when two of the so-called dogs in your pack are kittens. And pretty good cat pun.
Wow, I thought he was burning Jeff Teague.
And also he kind of called them pussies, I would say. That's the other thing.
How do you think Jeff Teague is feeling about this, actually? Because didn't he sign there to play with Jimmy Butler? Basically, like,
I think he might have just signed there for the most money anyone was offering Jeff Teague. Like, that seemed like a lot of money even at the time.
Like, okay, but actually, where is Taj Gibson in all of this, actually? Because he's probably the actual leader of that locker room, right?
He's mad. He's not happy. I was, let me find the Taj Gibson thing here real quickly. From our friends at The Athletic. Taj, hold on. So at one point today, apparently Thibodeau was telling Taj Gibson, like, hey, we've been through tougher times together. We've been through it on the Bulls. And Taj Gibson just like raised his eyebrows and looked at him. He says, his quote is, when I talk to Tibbs, he always tells me this is nothing and we've been through worse situations than this in Chicago. I kind of glanced at him with a smile. It's weird. It's really hard to explain. It's a weird feeling right before training camp. He's like, because he's Team Tibbs and he likes Jimmy Butler, but he's also like, this dude is gone and our team is screwed.
Yeah. Also, back to Steven Jackson real quick. I don't know if anyone ever pointed this out, but it just occurred to me. Like, of course Steven Jackson is siding with someone who demands a trade the day before media day. Because you know what happened?
Oh,
you know who else did that? Steven fucking Jackson.
That's true. Steven Jackson. Like Steven Jackson, really cool guy that you didn't always really want on your basketball team.
I mean, I love him. He's the best. Anyway.
He's like, great. Really good guy, I think, too. I'm Team Stack Jack.
What would you trade Jimmy Butler for, Sean?
I mean, it's like so hypothetical at this point. The problem is that the teams on his list do not make good trading partners. Like, I don't see how trades with the Nets or Knicks work in any way.
I mean, I could see the Knicks working, but the Knicks are actually being smart and are not even trying to trade him. Trade for him, because they're like, we can just sign him next year, whatever. We don't want to give up Frank.
Well, also, I'm sure it's appealing to be able to get Jimmy Butler for $140 million instead of $190 million because the back end of that contract isn't going to be good.
Now,
because he's 30. He already misses 15 games a year. He's led the league in minutes. You know, he had knee surgery at the end of the year last year.
He's still rehabbing. He's not healthy yet.
Well, he had hand surgery, too.
Yeah.
So, and he's aged in Tibbs years. That's kind of okay for a big man, maybe, but, like, I just, you know, he's still really good. You should still sign him to that deal because the scarcity, there's, you know, how many guys are, like, as good as Jimmy Butler for the next 2 or 3 years? 15? 20?
Yeah. It might even be higher. I mean, less, frankly. Like, he, you know, healthy Jimmy Butler might honestly be, like, a top 12 NBA player. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
and that's when, I mean, I get why Tibbs doesn't want to get rid of him, because how are you going to get equivalent value? Now, granted, they've only had a week, so
rumor is the Heat are the ones who are making the biggest push to get him.
Well, and I think that one makes, they don't have any first round picks, but I would say something like Bam, Josh Richardson, and then pick, well, I mean, I guess Whiteside is the appealing guy because his contract expires after the year. Does his contract expire after the year?
I think he might have a player option, dude.
Yeah, that, then I can't. I mean, somebody like Josh Richardson and Bam Adebayo, that's the right combination of young guys who you can play. You know,
I think you'd want Justice Winslow too, though, but you don't have the leverage.
Well, you have to match the money too,
right?
But I guess.
Well, the rumor is the Kings are telling every team, "Hey, we'll take any bad salary for a pick."
Oh yeah, Whiteside has a player option. No, thank you.
Yeah, apparently the Kings are doing a smart thing for once in their damn franchise history,
and not. What's that?
They're calling every team and saying, like, you can use our cap space if you give us a pick for any of these trades. Like, we'll take Gorgui Dieng for sure.
You know, I think the Sacramento Kings, unfortunately, have maybe made some enemies this offseason. So, given that there's two guys who reneged on their deals to other teams that ended up with the Kings. So, we'll get into that more in the Western preview, but They seem like they might be villains.
All right, we've gone 40 minutes. Let's
blow through
this. I'm sorry.
Yeah, whatever.
Mark Cuban's a bad person. That's our next story. Fuck Mark Cuban. He didn't get enough punishment.
Yeah, he donated $10 million, and they said he wasn't, like, involved enough. But, look, the NBA has done what they're going to do. It's time for Shark Tank to fire him. Fire him. Come on, Mark Burnett. Like, get some goodwill for once in your goddamn life. Stand up to sexual assault. Fire Mark Cuban from Shark Tank.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. Also, don't idolize billionaires, fucking idiots.
Yeah.
All billionaires are bad, except for Marcus Lemonis, the prophet. CNBC's the prophet. He's the only good billionaire. Of course, George Soros, who is paying me to say that. Mm-hmm. Anyone else?
Thank you, George Soros.
So we'll be back later this week with another division preview, but we just wanted to talk about Media Day was yesterday, and we just wanted to talk about some things we saw.
Mm-hmm.
Sean, what did you see on Media Day that you wanted to talk about?
Well, first of all, the quote of Media Day, I believe, goes to political hero and NBA dork, Enes Kanter, said at Knicks Media Day, "When I think about the playoffs, my nipples get hard," which is very funny. Good job, Enes Kanter. Also, kind of gross to imagine Enes Kanter's nipples, which I imagine to be, like, enormous.
Yeah,
I don't know why.
Probably very big.
Also, going to be real soft this season in New York. But good job, Enes. Also, another player whose nipples are going to be pretty soft, Tony Parker, who told his new teammates in Charlotte, "Don't mess with my playoff streak, guys. 17 in a row." That is also the number of relationships he has ruined with his philandering. 17 in a row. Also what he believes the age of consent is in America. So
before we get to your next Media Day thing,
can I talk
about something I want to stop with Media Day?
Oh, yeah.
I don't ever want to see another player pretending to dunk on a hoop that isn't there.
Oh, man.
It's my least favorite thing about Media Day.
They never look good.
I can't imagine. Can you imagine being a player and having to do that where they, like, give you a ball and they're like, now jump in the air and act like you're dunking?
Oh my God.
You must feel. Honestly, NBA players, I think part of the reason they get paid so much money is because local sports nets make them do that every year. It's for the embarrassment of pretending to dunk on a hoop that isn't there.
Yeah, these photos are. I just love also that everything's now green screened, basically, just so you can put in any background. And I just love green screen stuff with no stuff in the background, like just people acting and the fake dunking, though.
It's the worst.
Yeah.
Well, and I saw a really funny picture of Sean Livingston, and he was pretending to do a finger roll. The other thing I wanted to talk about with Media Day is, did you see who took LeBron James's locker, Sean?
Oh, yes. One of the NBA's greatest podcasters. A true son of Portland without actually having lived in Portland all that long, Mr. Channing Frye.
Perfect person to put there, actually. Honestly, a lot of times I think teams screw that up. And
They didn't give it to Colin Sexton.
Right. At least they didn't give it to Sam Decker.
That would have been incredible.
At least with Channing Frye, you're getting a veteran guy who's fun to be around.
Yeah,
and who also won't care that it's LeBron James's locker because he's like, it's a locker, bro. Anything else you saw you wanted to talk about?
I love that Andre Drummond now has the green light to shoot 3-pointers. Currently 5 for 30, which is better than I thought he was from three. He says he takes 1,000 threes every day.
Seems like a lot. Didn't Ray Allen only take 500?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty incredible. He just needs to start eating dinner at the exact same time. It has to be a chicken dinner at the exact same time every day.
He also has to mention the time he dunked on his dad any chance he gets.
Yeah. You know what's really weird? Ray Allen led the 2000 Olympic team in blocks.
You were talking about that yesterday.
He has, and it's a lot of blocks, too. He, really blocked a lot of shots. It's just weird, the perception of Ray Allen that we have, because he played forever. He's such a good three-point shooter, but, he had about 10 years of dunking on people a lot.
Yeah.
So weird. Yeah, so I guess Andre Drummond's going to be taking more threes, and the Detroit bloggers who were writing about it were like, well, he literally only has to hit 29% of his threes to be more efficient than posting up, because he's terrible at posting up. It's like, maybe he just needs to give Blake the block all by himself. I do think the Pistons, well, we'll get to that, but
we'll get to that on our next episode later this week.
Yeah.
This is just a news podcast. We'll do our Central Division later this week.
Yeah.
The one thing I wanted to talk about, my favorite Media Day story yesterday, is DeAndre Ayton, Sean. I am not high on his Media Day performance yesterday. It does not make me feel good about about his ceiling, I gotta say. The first thing he said when he got to the podium at Media Day was, do I have to do this next year?
Yeah, you do.
This is your job.
did you see your teammates out here? Because your team does have three rookies, but no, four actually. But yeah, Trevor Ariza's there. He was in the NBA before you were born, as was Tyson Chandler. Got to go to Media Day, dude.
Also, I thought LeBron sucked at Media Day. That's the other thing I want to say. He looked fine in the uniform or whatever, but uh-huh. He did not seem jazzed to be on the Lakers, honestly.
No, he – well, I love when he posed with the sort of we have a default name for the weird bench that the Lakers have?
Well, he gave them a terrible name.
We called them Mud?
Yeah, which stand for... Hold on, what? LeBron Mud. It's like... yeah, so he named Rondo, Beasley, JaVale, and Lance Stevenson Mud, which stands for Misunderstood, Underappreciated, Determined.
I would say that some of those words do apply to some of those guys, but not all three, and certainly not all three to the whole group.
Who's the most determined member of MUD?
Like Rondo sometimes, I guess.
All right, who's the most underappreciated member of MUD?
JaVale McGee.
Yeah, I also think Beasley is kind of underappreciated, frankly.
Yeah, I mean...
He's good at the thing he does, which is score a lot off the bench.
Once I started playing him at power forward, it made much more sense, too.
Yeah, and then finally, who's the
Well, we should also appreciate that extra percentage of brain that he uses.
It's true.
But yeah, JaVale also, just to defend JaVale more, having, like, two really defined NBA skills is better than being subpar at a lot of things. And like,
yes.
It's fine that JaVale is terrible at some things because what he does do on offense, he's really, really good at.
And then finally, Sean, who's the most misunderstood?
God, of those guys, I feel like Lance Stevenson and Rajon Rondo are correctly understood.
See, I They're think like, it's ugh. Lance. Because oh, yeah? NBA Twitter treats him like he's like a fun hero guy when really uh-huh. he's like a super bad person.
Well, and I think he's like an unpleasant teammate too, because Indiana basically had him for free and they were just like, yeah, we've had enough of this.
Twice. They've done that twice.
But yeah, we'd rather have Doug McDermott playing your minutes, Lance.
But yeah.
Yeah, so he's misunderstood in a way LeBron did not mean, in that we have not learned about a lot of his crimes because he's been protected by Larry Bird. yeah, I completely agree with that.
And then finally, do you want to talk about how Evan Fournier essentially signed his own death warrant at Media
Day? he just basically showed pictures of his apparently restored hairline. The problem is I didn't really realize that Evan Fournier had been balding.
He's had terrible hair his entire career.
It's masked by being on the Orlando Magic. Like when you're playing alongside Elfrid Payton, everyone's like, eh, his hair's fine. But now he has a really great looking defined hairline, which probably had some professional help. And he offered.
He tweeted out close ups of it. And said, Media Day 2018, waving emoji at King James, hit me up, bro.
And that's hilarious. And
really
making
funny.
Fun of LeBron's baldness is always going to be funny. It's never going to stop.
No, it's always it's always great.
Yeah. And but I do think that he is probably in trouble when they play the Lakers. Like, LeBron will go out of his way to embarrass him. Unfortunately, I feel like Jonathan Isaac and Mo Bamba might unfortunately bear the brunt of this through no fault of their own. Aaron Gordon probably won't as much because I think he's probably still thinking he could have a role in Space Jam as well. By the way, Space Jam 2, it's really fun to talk about. Undoubtedly will be terrible. Like no doubt it will be awful.
Yeah, of course.
And Kobe fans are going to start defacing those posters once they start going up.
All right, Sean, that's our news episode. Anything you want to plug?
Come to the business on Monday nights.
LeBron James specifically.
LeBron, here's the thing. He's getting into entertainment.
He was at a comedy show last week.
It's time for LeBron. Look, any Monday you want, we can give you, depending on the lineup, between, look, at least 5 minutes, as much as 8 minutes, and if you go in advance for our booker, probably get you 10. But definitely a guaranteed 5 minutes.
You can't guarantee LeBron 15 minutes.
No. We have a great show. Like, I mean, maybe if he sends us a tape, but if he's a drop-in, if he wants to book in advance, yeah, we can, you know.
Yeah, what if he's making a tape, Sean?
Yeah, if he's making a tape, like, that's a special exception. If he's trying to do late night or something, he's got a Just for Laughs set, or, you know, what if he's got, like, one of those Netflix mini specials that he's trying to tape, like
he's
a 15
minute. He's trying to get on Comedy by Blake.
Yeah, obviously. Those things are exceptions. But just random Monday night, unannounced drop-in, probably only 5 to 7 minutes available for LeBron. I'm sorry, we're a professional show. It's not an open mic, you know? If he wants to know some of the good open mics, I would say he can probably get more time if he does them like in the Valley. But I think he's going to be on the West Side, so like he could do some of those shows. But it's every Monday night at Little Joy at 9 o'clock. And I would get LeBron drink tickets. They have red wine at the bar. I know he loves red wine. And we can also probably, if he wants to take his recovery van to the show, he can park in front of the taco truck outside. They would probably be really thrilled. And, you know, I'll buy him whatever he wants at the taco truck, too. But also 2 to 3 drink tickets. They're each good for, you know, like a house red. It's pretty good. And LeBron does not have to bring people, but it would be cool if he did. And also if he posted about it on social media, that would be cool. But again, not a requirement. So, yeah, any Monday you want, LeBron. 5 to 7 minutes, 2 to 3 drink tickets, and, like, a couple of tacos, I guess.
All right, and then as for me, I will be on Locked On Raptors later this week with former guest Sean Woodley. Should be fun. I'm going to be giving Raptors fans advice on what it's like to go from rooting for a horrible losing team to a winning team. And then, as always, you can follow me on Twitter at Frankie Muniz, where 2 days ago I tweeted, I want to go to the at Phoenix Zoo.
I mean, it's probably a good zoo,
just
but
go, man.
Kind of a hot climate for zoos,
but
I gotta
also,
say.
Like,
yeah, go to the zoo, man.
Yeah. But also, of course, a friend of Joe Arpaio is like a fan of animal cruelty.
Oh my god, yeah, all the misbehaving animals have to wear pink outfits.
Trust the process?
Trust the process.
Shut it down, let's go our hairline.
See what we gonna do. I'm gonna pull up on the nigga, I'm gonna serve him, you feel me? And I got a kid goes, I got moves, a buzz, I load the motherfucking city. I ain't got time to be talking to the nigga, you feel me? Now we can chop it up in the club or something, my nigga. But right now, I'm about the money, you know what I mean? I like to make my play fast, nigga, in a hurry. I move like a president, nigga. I may play like Ricky Rubio, nigga.
I was in the booth grinding in the studio. He want a bag, I told him meet me at the stop and go. No time for talking, here's the work, not trying to do this, folks. I make a play so fast, you call me Ricky Rubio. Ricky Rubio. Ricky Rubio. Make them play so fast, you call me Ricky Rubio. Ricky Rubio. Ricky Rubio. The way I make them plays, you call me Ricky Rubio. I make a play like Ricky Rubio, but no rookie. I'm like a fat boy, posted with a bomber cookie. Soon as them cars come, I'm running.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.